If I can ask you to open up to the book of Ruth this morning, please. We're going to be in Ruth chapter 2, if you can find that in your Bibles. Quite an easy one to flick past. If you go to the end of Judges, it's between Judges and 1 Samuel. This is our fourth message in the book of Ruth, so just while you're trying to find that, we'll do a quick recap on where we are. So far, we've looked at the man Elimelech, this Jewish man who lived in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. And he was married to Naomi. And they made the decision due to famine in that land to move out of Bethlehem, Judah, and they moved to the land of Moab, a pagan nation, somewhere they shouldn't really have went. They had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and because they were in this place, we've seen that death came to them. The two sons died and Elimelech died as well. So we've got a widow and two daughter-in-laws, no men, no hope, nothing. They're not sure how they're going to live their lives. What we've seen a couple of times back was that God somehow got a message through to them that back in their homeland, back in Bethlehem, Judah, the famine had been lifted and they're drawn back to their homeland. And what we've seen the last time was that this man, Boaz, came into the scene. And we looked at that, the last message that we had, that this man, Boaz, was showing great kindness to Ruth. That Ruth went out, she actually spurred herself into action to help herself out. That she was aware of the laws of the land. She went gleaning in the fields, gleaning the kind of leftover grain from the harvesters. And if you want to pick up on the issues that are online on the website, you can get the full details there. And what we looked at the last time is that we need to be a Ruth. They need to live by faith and trust in God, even in affliction, even in difficult times. We also put the challenge out, we have to be a Boaz as well, that we need to listen to people, talk to people, help out the poor, help out the needy, do what we can with other people that are in need. We need to be the people that pour into other people's lives as well. And where we're going to pick up this morning is in chapter 2, verse 13. At this point, Ruth has been gleaning in the fields of Boaz. He has been showing her kindness, great kindness, kindness that's out of character, we might even say. But as we come to chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "Then she said to him, 'Let me find favour in your sight, my lord, for you have comforted me, and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants.'" So Ruth is acknowledging all the good things that Boaz is bringing into her life, all the good things and the blessings that he is giving her, all the things that he is doing for her. He's treating her like a maidservant, but she's poor, she's a needy person, she's really the kind of low, the low of the low in the community at this time. She's a gleaner. You couldn't get any lower than that. But Boaz is treating her above her station. And what we see from Ruth is gratitude. She never asks God, you know, God, why are all these hard times coming on me? Ruth doesn't get bitter. But she's just giving gratitude back to Boaz, the one that's helping her out. And what we see as we step into verse 14 is that Boaz has been kind to her already. But he ramps it up a gear yet again. He doesn't only ensure that she's looked after and treated well, but she actually invites her to come and spend time with him. So in verse 14 it says, "Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, 'Come here and eat of the bread, and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar.' So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied, and kept some back." So in the harvest time, all the workers are out in the field and it came to mealtime. In the mealtime, it would be Boaz's workers that would get provided food and water. Gleaners, the low and the low, just have to deal with their own stuff. Likely they wouldn't have a drink or probably wouldn't have any food throughout the full day until they get home. But what we see here is that Boaz says, "Come and eat with me. Come over here and share some food and some drink with me." What we might even think of is, you know, as the story goes on, we see as a kind of love interest happens here. This could be a kind of first date. That Boaz is saying, "Come over here, spend some time with me. I'm interested in you." And as I was thinking about this, though, Boaz made an approach to Ruth in the field. It's a four-chapter book in the Bible. It's quite short. And thinking, if I was Boaz, it'd be 104 chapters because I'm not very forthcoming at things like that. I asked my good lady, my wife, she asked me out on my first date, not the other way about. So Boaz actually is taking the bull by the horns here and inviting Ruth to come and spend some time with him. But what we need to understand at this point as well, this is a very unusual thing. As we looked at a couple of studies back, Ruth is a Moabite. very, very bad reputation within the Jewish community, because these Moabite women led the Jewish men into immorality. So for him to invite her to spend this mealtime with him was a big deal. And as I said before, we need to consider this Boaz character as being a type of Jesus in the Bible here. And what is this Boaz doing? He's giving bread and vinegar to Ruth. Vinegar really is a grape juice, a fruit of the vine. So really, Ruth is there, a bride-to-be, and what we see is that Christ has given bread and wine, his body and his blood for his bride. Us, as believers of the church, we're the bride of Christ. There's that picture there of what God does for us, his redeemed people. It reminds us of our Redeemer, our Kinsman Redeemer, who has chosen us, has invited us to come and dine with him, to take part in his body and in his blood. And we've got so many different underlying themes that we see coming out of the book of Ruth here. So like Boaz called over Ruth, our Lord Jesus calls us over to him. And that is what we're seeing here. God draws us to him, but it's then up to us to respond back. If we feel God drawing us to him, what do we do? Do we accept that draw and ask God to do all the things in our life that we need him to do? Or do we say, there and no further? And what we see with Ruth, they come into a full union, and we see the blessings that will bring in Ruth's life. We read in verse 14, it says, she ate and was satisfied and had some left, or she kept some back. So if we come to Jesus, Jesus draws us to him, we accept him and step into that relationship. This is a picture. There's an abundance in a relationship with God here. We feed in his word, we drink of his life, and there's an abundance that he can give to us. Boaz was shown grace to Ruth in a mighty, mighty way here. And so the Lord Jesus shows us grace in our life as well. He invites us to him to taste and to see that he is good. And the invite is, how far do we go? How much will we feed from his cup? One day, he'll take us to be with him on a permanent basis, but in the here and now, we've got to keep that relationship going, to be constantly in the Word of God and constantly nourished in him. And eventually, as we'll see, Ruth will find Boaz to be her Redeemer. We need to see Christ as being our Redeemer of our life, of our eternity, and of our day-to-day business as well. Revelation 19 tells us, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That is the invite that God has given to us. We need to make sure we're preparing ourselves for this time. Living our lives as a blessed people. Do you have hard times in your life, guys? I'm sure we all do. And as we've heard the kind of prayers this morning, we all go through hard times. But we still need to see ourselves as blessed people, because God will redeem those circumstances. And he will give you strength in the here and now to get through them if we hold on to him, feeding his word and drink of his life in the here and now. So in verse 15 it says, she rose up to glean, and Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even amongst the sheaves. Do not reproach her. Also let her glean from the bundles that fall purposely for her. Leave it so she may glean. Do not rebuke her. So Boaz is telling all of his workers, let her glean amongst the sheaves. So it was a very, very generous thing he was doing for Ruth here. It wasn't just the bits and bobs that fall at the side, she can get them. He was actually telling his workers, actually let her in the thick of the work, and don't let her just in the outskirts of the field. She can go anywhere within my land and pick up what she needs. So we see the great extreme grace that Boaz is giving her here. Boaz is wanting to bless Ruth. It's not him just being a wee tiny bit nice. He's been extravagantly, abundantly nice to her, showering on her all of these blessings. And we might think of his workers, you know, what would his workers be thinking? Why is he doing that for that lass? Why is he doing that for that lass there? I don't understand it. And I think in the secular minds, you know, I was thinking, oh, I'd be going, ah, he fancies her, look at him, trying to get that young lass, ah, she's a looker, he's just been nice to her because she's quite pretty. And you know, there maybe was a bit of that, we don't know, but the Bible doesn't tell us that. What the attraction is, that Boaz is attracted to the qualities in Ruth. Our reputation really goes before her. Everyone sees how godly and virtuous a woman Ruth is. And Boaz is our male counterpart, so they're joined together due to the virtues that they both have. But really, it was just that Boaz was a man of compassion. He couldn't help but to do that for Ruth because he had such a compassionate heart. And I think to myself, if I see somebody in need, if I get that compassion, it'll pour out and pour out into them. I'd be probably have to answer, no, not all the time. Sometimes I would, and other times I'd go, nah, can't be bothered. That's when we need to ask God to do the work in our hearts, to enlarge our hearts, to help those that really are in need. So Boaz is doing his best for this woman, Ruth, here. And he's making sure that not just the bits that get accidentally dropped she can pick up. He's saying to the workers, leave bundles for her, leave loads of food round about the field that she can pick up, because I'm looking after her, and yous all need to look after her as well. So she's given mercy and grace in abundance here. But Boaz was quite careful. If we see somebody in need and say, oh, you poor wee soul, oh, that's a shame, oh, my heart goes out for you, and here's £20 to help you out, and we make people feel this small. How many people have maybe tried to help out, and they go, no, no, it's fine, and they walk away. And we feel, oh, I'm trying to help you out there. I mean, is my money not good enough? Boaz here was very clever in the way he was approaching Ruth. He didn't say, you know, charity case here, everyone, show her pity and give her what she needs. He was being sensible with it. He was telling his workers to leave things about for her. Don't put her in a position where she's going to feel totally indebted to everyone of you. Don't make her feel small. But he was looking after her all the same. He was clever with the way he was providing into Ruth's life. And I think we need to have that kind of wiseness as well. If we are helping somebody out, don't help them out and want to get a big head about it. To make us feel good, we're helping people out to make them feel good. We need to take our own self-esteem out of the equation. So Ruth, she's given mercy, grace and position. She's getting treated as a maidservant, so that was a good step above a gleaner. The gleaners were the low of the low. A maidservant was a paid member of staff within Boaz's team. She was getting kind of treated as a normal working, eligible member of society here, with all the kind of benefits of that brought. She was allowed to eat with Boaz, whereas gleaners wouldn't be. So she was elevated in position. And we need to look to Jesus as well for that analogy there. Jesus forgives our sins, gives us all the forgiveness that we need. But he goes beyond that as well. He gives us the rights as his adopted sons and daughters. He changes our position and elevates us up. We don't deserve it, the same as Ruth doesn't deserve it, but that's what he does for us as a blessing into our lives. That we have got a rich position in Jesus, and that brings blessings upon blessings to us. So this Boaz and Ruth relationship here is really a picture of God and his agape, unending love for us, his church. It's selfless and it knows no ends, as we see that Boaz is getting more and more generous in the life of Ruth here. And once we receive that, we need to then pass that on to other people as well. If we've received that love in our lives, it's up to us to show other people that love also. So it says in verse 17, she gleaned in the field until evening. She beat out what she gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she was satisfied. So Ruth was blessed. She had received all this food. She had received generosity and time from Boaz as well. But at the same time, she was still working hard. She was in need, and somebody was helping her out, but she didn't just sit back in her backside and go, help me, help me, help me, I'm doing nothing. She was being blessed abundantly, but every day she still went out and worked in the field. She let Boaz's grace become the kind of motivation for her to go and work hard. You're showing me such greatness, I'm going to work hard as well and show how grateful I am. And I think we need to do that as well. God shows us how much he loves us. How do we express that back to him? We should be able to be working for the kingdom of God, doing all the things that we can to increase his kingdom and to support his adopted sons and daughters as well. We need to work diligently for God as a response to the love and the blessings that he has put into our lives. And what did Ruth do? We've seen here how much barley that she had actually collected. It says she counted her barley at the end of the day, and it was estimated to be an ephah of barley. And where our kind of commentary you go to, it gives you all different measures, but roughly about 30 pounds of barley grain that she had here. So think of that, 30 pounds. A normal gleaner would get between 1 or 2 pounds of barley per day. So I compare what Ruth has collected into a normal gleaner in the field. So if I had to say, you're right, guys, go to work tomorrow, and tomorrow you're getting 15 times your wages that day, how would you feel? You'd be there with bells on, like, tomorrow I'm doing overtime, I'll do a 12-hour shift, not a problem. It'd be quite extraordinary. And what we see here is, what Ruth is experiencing is extraordinary. But it's not just for Ruth, it's for all of us. What God can do in us and for us is extraordinary when we put our trust and our faith in him and work diligently for God as well. So this food would feed both her and Naomi for a good number of days, maybe even months. So it's a good haul that she's brought home. So again, extreme generosity is what we see here. Boaz is a Christ figure. We've got to keep that in mind. Compare that to Ephesians 3, verse 20, which says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." So abundantly above what we would ask or think. Ruth wouldn't have expected to go that day and bring home 30 pounds of grain. She would be expected to work hard all day long for a meager 1 or 2 pounds. That her and her mother-in-law would still have an empty tummy at the end of the day, once a better. But she is experiencing this great abundance when she comes home. And as I said, God can bring an abundance into our lives as well. And for Boaz, he didn't need to do this for Ruth. Remember, we spoke about the last time, a law of the land being that gleaners were allowed into the fields. They were allowed to pick up the bits and balls that were forgotten by the workers that accidentally dropped. But it would be hard work to get enough food to live by. But Boaz didn't just say, right, I'll let you in my field and you can do the bare minimum. You can pick up the scraps that are here. He actually made sure that she was provided for all our needs, and even more than that as well. And we need to be like Boaz and go above and beyond the call of duty for other people as well. Just as Boaz did with Ruth here. Above and beyond the call of duty for people that are in need, and even for people that aren't in need. How blessed are you if somebody does a good turn to you? You're maybe not expecting it, you're maybe not even needing it. But somebody steps into your life and blesses you. How do you feel? Does it stick a smile on your face? It should. It does. And then what do you do? You're that blessed, you end up being kind to somebody else. It's that kind of knock-on effect, isn't it? Think how we can start that knock-on effect. What can we do to somebody else that shall put that ripple of love throughout a community, throughout a family, in the name of God? So we need to strive to give to others, to help other people, and show love and grace and mercy, the kind of attributes of God which we can see through this man Boaz here. And we can also consider that fact that when we're blessed, that there is that ripple effect. When Ruth was blessed, there was a ripple effect. She was blessed and went back to her mother-in-law, Naomi. It says in verse 19, her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gone today? Where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." And she told her mother-in-law with whom she'd worked and said, "This man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz." So Boaz's kindness to Ruth also affected her mother-in-law, Naomi. So Ruth was struggling home with all this kind of grain, kind of quite a heavy lot, and she comes back and her mother-in-law's like, "Where the heck did you get that?" You know, she really wouldn't be expecting it. And what we see is what the Lord gives to us is obviously for our benefit, but when we share it with other people, it becomes to their benefit also. Is that not what we're called to do? To go out into all the world? We've not to sit back and count our blessings. Look at all the things that I've got, isn't this good? And keep it all in our own wee sphere. We need to step out of our own wee comfort zone and show other people the great love that we have been given in God as well. And to point to the one who provides the love and the blessings and the grace, we need to point people to Jesus. So as Ruth comes home with all this this grain, she's sharing unselfishly with her mother-in-law. She doesn't hide any back. She doesn't plant some on the way home and think, "Oh, that'll be my wee stash, that's my midnight snacks every night, I'll go out and get that." Everything she lays before her mother-in-law as well. We need to be open, we need to be honest, and we need to be unselfishly sharing with other people. And what we see is it does a work in Naomi's life. Remember when Naomi came back to Bethlehem, Judah, she said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because I am bitter." She was a bitter, twisted old woman because of her background circumstances. And we couldn't really fault her, because when you looked at things, you could understand what she was like. But what we see here is the blessing that God has given to Ruth through Boaz is blessing Naomi as well. And bitter is making way for blessed to take over again. The kind of wee smile starting to smirk at the side of her mouth. She's starting to find joy in her life. Her heart is beginning to be softened because of an act of kindness from this man, Boaz. So what we see here is they had a hard time in the past, but Ruth had stuck with God. Ruth had put her trust and her faith in going out and doing something, and then she's seen the results of her work. She's seen that Boaz was blessing her, that through God, God had provided Boaz to bring a blessing into her life. And Boaz is telling her, "Work in my field. If you work in my field, I'll look after you. I'll give you all that you need." And likewise, God is saying to us today, if you want all you need, stick to the boundaries of my word. That is the field that you need to stay in. If you stay there, you will be provided for. Go out with that boundary then. Things may come into your life that are not pleasant. I can't provide for you when you're not staying under my word and under my guidance. And what we see with Ruth and Naomi, the 10 years of hardship back in Moab, but when they came back to Bethlehem, Judah, one day was all it took for all of that to change. So if you're going through a hard time today, if you're struggling, you're not sure what's happening, what your future holds, all I'll say is what a difference one day makes. It happened here with Ruth, and it can happen in your lives as well. One day is all it takes and things can turn around. Your day might be tomorrow, it might be a few days away, you just never know, but your day will come. Hold on in faith and trust to God. Look to him for all of your needs, and he will take care of you. So as I said, an astonished Naomi looks at all this and thinks, where does it come from? Naomi goes through all the story about Boaz and how kind that he's been to her in the field here. And at this stage, what we don't actually realise is that this man Boaz is a kind of relative of Naomi's family, was a relative of her late husband Elimelech. So as Ruth is kind of telling this story to Naomi, Naomi's mind's starting to kind of think, Boaz, and she kind of puts together the kind of family jigsaw, and the wee kind of light bulb moment goes off in her mind. And what we'll see is this man Boaz is going to have a very, very big part in the redemption of this family here. But for now, he's just a kind, desirable, very rich man, probably kind of older, maybe quite distinguished looking. Because when you read through the kind of scriptures, he's putting a very good light here. So kind, desirable, rich, strong. What are you thinking, ladies? Are you kind of keen or not? Sounds no bad, eh? So there's a wee bit of an appeal there. But what we'll see is he's got lots of good qualities about him, but it's the spiritual virtues that he's holding on to that are the most important. In verse 20, Naomi says to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." Naomi said to her, this man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives, or some Bibles say, one of our near kinsmen. So this same woman who changed her name to Mara, meaning bitter, is now seeing God's plan unfold, and this kind of bitterness is starting to lift in her life. She sees that things work together for the good for those that are called into God's purposes. She's having this kind of light bulb moment. This man's related to us. This man can maybe help us. This man's maybe our ticket to redemption here. So we can see this kind of process starting to kick in. The Hebrew word for a near king or near kinsman is goel, which means a kinsman redeemer. And that term might kind of click off in your mind that Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. He can redeem all things and will redeem all things. It literally means one who has the right to redeem. So Boaz, in the lives of Naomi and Ruth, has the one who has the right to redeem them. The responsibilities of this near kinsman we see in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 25. And what this near kinsman could do was to redeem family land that was lost due to the husband dying. No male, you can't have the land, so Ruth and Naomi, their family land is gone. But a near kinsman, a family relation, could buy it back on their behalf. Naomi and Ruth, the daughter-in-law and the mother-in-law, no children. No male children to keep on the family name, so the family name is blotted off. That family name doesn't continue on anymore. But what the kinsman redeemer can do is have a child with the widow and bring that child up in the name of the late husband and keep the family name on that way. So Deuteronomy 25 verse 5 to 6 spells out the kind of law of the kinsman redeemer. So Ruth in this case could be redeemed, the family land could be redeemed, and her husband's name could be redeemed, and they could potentially go on and have success with that. So there might be a way for Ruth to marry again, and there might be a way for the family name to be continued on. But this kinsman redeemer had three criteria which they had to meet. First, they have to have the right to redeem. Was Boaz qualified to redeem? Well, we see it was related to them, so yes, he had the right to redeem. Secondly, had to have the ability to redeem. To redeem the family land and the family name would take money. Had to actually buy it back from somebody else. So, did he have money? He was one of the richest landowners and farmers in the area. So, yep, he had the ability here. And finally, he needed to be willing to redeem as well. Would Boaz take on the responsibility of buying back their land, marrying Ruth and having a baby with her, bringing that child up in somebody else's name? Would he be willing to do that? Ruth would have to ask him, and we've not quite came to that point yet. So if Boaz is a type of Jesus in the Old Testament, we see that Jesus has more than adequately looked after all these three requirements of a kinsman redeemer. Jesus has the right to redeem as our relative. He became flesh and blood, what we are. He became a family relation with us. He became like us in every way. He became a blood relation, so he has the right to redeem. He was able to pay the price. The second one, is he able? Yes, he's able to pay the price. He lived his whole life without sin, so he is able in that respect. And he made a divine exchange. 2 Corinthians 8:9 tells us, he became poor so that through him we might become rich. So yep, he's able to pay. He's paid by his own life. And Isaiah 52 says, is my hand shortened that I cannot redeem? God can redeem us. He's more than able. All we've got to do is approach him and ask. And third one, is he willing to redeem us? Thankfully, Jesus is. But it meant going to the cross. It meant giving up his life in exchange for ours. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So he was willing to give his all. So Jesus meets all these criteria as a kinsman redeemer. Oswald Chambers kind of summarises it in this wee poem. It says, Jesus can solve every problem, the tangle of life undo. There is nothing too hard for Jesus. There is nothing that he cannot do. He is our ultimate kinsman redeemer. But, like Ruth, the request needs to be put to him. He can draw all men to himself. But then once he has drawn people to him, they need to ask him. They need to come to him and ask for salvation, forgiveness of sin, and they need to repent before him for him to become their kinsman redeemer. We need to be making the request to the Lord Jesus. We need to respond and repent before him, and then he will and he can and he's willing to redeem our lives. So hope is rising in this situation here with Naomi and Ruth. They've got food, they've got a near kinsman, and life is starting to have promise again for them. As we get to verse 21, it says, Ruth the Moabite said, he also said to me, you shall stay close to my young men until they finish the harvest. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, is it good, my daughter, that you should go out with his young women? Is it good, my daughter, that you should go out with his young women and that people do not meet you in any other field? So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. So Boaz is extending this offer to her. He said, for the full harvest time, stay in my field. Don't go anywhere else. Stay in my field, and you can stay with my workers, and they will look after you. All that you need for this duration of time, I will look after you. Boaz wants Ruth there every single day of the harvest, just as God wants us every second of the day to stay in his field as well, so that he can look after us and provide for us. Ruth wouldn't need to go from field to field any longer. She wouldn't need to consider how her needs would be met. She wouldn't have to worry about her daily food if she stayed with Boaz in his field. All she needed would be there, and even more over and above that. She would have an abundance. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." That is the offer that Boaz is given to Ruth. You want abundance in life? Stay in my field. Stay with me, and I will look after you, and I will provide for you. So we shouldn't be in our daily life going from field to field trying to find meaning in life or happiness or security or whatever it might be. As we are dotting about and not knowing how we're going to have our daily needs met, not knowing how we're dealing with circumstances and hard times that we're having in our lives. As we dot about like headless chickens, God has sent us, stop it. Stay still, come back to me, stay in the borders of my field. There and there alone is where you're going to find your answers. That is the only place you'll find the answers from God. All we need, all that we should be seeking, and more, is in God through a relationship with Jesus. But we need to stay in his boundaries. The field is where we need to stay, and that is where Ruth is going to place herself. Ruth is placing herself in Boaz's field. And as the story continues on, we see that all that she needs is redeemed. Her whole life is turned around, and she has, in the end, become this blessed person once again. So we see Ruth, she stays in the fields, and she actually stays with the young women instead of the young men, just to kind of put that outward impression out that she's not interested in any other men in the field. So she stays by the women just to let Boaz know, there might be all these kind of young, hunky farmer types in this field. I'm not interested. You might be a bit older, Boaz, but you're my man. So that's what she does. So from the beginning of the barley harvest until the end of the wheat harvest, all that time, roughly about 7 weeks, maybe a couple of months in duration, Ruth is in the field working away, gleaning, doing what she needs to do. So for a couple of months, we're not told during that couple of months exactly what happens. Do Ruth and Boaz continue to meet for lunch and have a wee chit-chat? We're not told that. Did they just exchange a couple of words? We're not told that either. All we can do is kind of surmise in our own minds how we think that passes out here. But what we do see is that Boaz asks Ruth to stay in his field. She does that. She's obedient to the call of her near kinsman. But what we see as well is Ruth had to be patient. She had hard times. She was getting blessings from Boaz, but there were still things in her life. Long term, she wasn't sure how her life was going to pan out. They still had no males to look after them. They still had no family land, no house really to call their own. She wasn't sure long term how things were going to pan out. But she was patient. In the meantime, she'd done what she was asked to do. She stayed in the field. We're not even told here that there's a kind of major budding love romance between Ruth and Boaz. We're not quite sure. But I think that's maybe developing during this couple of months here. But in the right time, herself and her Redeemer would be united. And as we get to chapter 3, we see her mother-in-law is kind of ticking over in her mind. I need to get this situation sorted. And in chapter 3, verse 1, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" So her mother-in-law's want to make sure long-term that Ruth is looked after. And what she's really saying to Ruth here is, Ruth, you're quite a young woman. You need to get yourself married and settle down, so as long-term, you're going to be settled, you're going to be looked after. And in verse 2, she says, "Now Boaz, whose young woman you are with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is withering barley tonight at the threshing floor." So her mother-in-law kind of turns into Cilla Black at this time, I think. She's trying to do a wee kind of matchmaking situation here. And then Cilla Black's there, she comes in with Graham with a quick reminder, you know. Our contestant number one, our one and only contestant, his name is Boaz from Bethlehem, Judah. He's an older but quite a fine specimen in the field out there. Our contestant's strong, he's virtuous, he's very wealthy, sounds quite good. He's a near kinsman to the family of Elimelech and Naomi. He's a soft spot for Ruth and an attraction to her qualities. He's caring, he's protecting. He might even redeem the family land, and he might even give you a baby. So Ruth is putting it all out here. Sorry, Naomi's putting it all out to Ruth here. And then she ends by saying, and you can find him tonight at the threshing floor. Hint, hint, go get your man, is I think what she's trying to say here. So how does Naomi and Ruth take this situation forward? What does Ruth do to this invite from her mother-in-law? Well, Naomi instructs Ruth further in verse 3. Wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to that man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down, you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. And she said to her, and all you do to me I will do. So she went down to the threshing floor and did all that her mother-in-law instructed her to do. After Boaz had eaten and drunk, his heart was cheerful. He went and lay down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, who are you? So what does Ruth do when Naomi gave her this invite? She seeks for her life to be strengthened through this man, Ruth. She's listening to what her mother-in-law is saying. She's accepting it and she's thinking it's a good idea. And she seeks to get her life sorted through this man, Boaz. But she comes to Boaz in humility and in need, just as we need to come to God in humility and in need as well. By her actions and by the attitude of her heart, she's asking Boaz to provide for her. In our lives, do we do the same with God? Do we come to him in humility and need and trustingly invite him to undertake for us in our lives? Now, as we're reading this here, I just want to point out that you can get the wrong idea as we're reading this. She's not getting herself washed up and tarted up to go and kind of seduce Boaz here. That's really not what it's about. But if we have a kind of quick skim through that, we can maybe think, she's getting herself all dressed up all nicely and she's lying down next to Boaz. We think it's maybe some kind of sexualized thing. That's not the case at all. She's a gleaner. She works hard. If you work hard, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the day, how do you smell? A wee bit honky. So basically, she's to wash for the same reasons as we all need to wash at the end of the day. She's to put on perfume to make sure that she is actually smelling nice. And she wanted to look presentable and pleasant to his eyes, the same as we want to look that way before anyone in the here and now. An interesting thing is, obviously, she is a widow. Her husband had died. And some commentators say that up until this point, she'd be wearing mourning clothes. She'd be wearing the plain, drab clothing to show everyone that looked on her, I'm out the game here. I'm in mourning. I'm not available. So at this point, when she gets off the old mourning garden, gets on her normal clothes, she's saying to Boaz, there is a change, I'm now available to you. And she is putting that picture over. So Boaz, he was in charge of the harvest, they'd brought in all the harvest, they'd winnowed it and they had the harvest finished. That was a dangerous time for farmers because they've got all this kind of starchy grain, which basically they're saying on it saying, thieves, come and get me. So to prevent that, they would sleep with the grain overnight. And that's what Boaz is doing here. He's guarding his crop, guarding his harvest. At the end of the harvest time, there's a big party as a celebration. So Boaz had been part of that party, had food, had some drink, and he was lying down there at the end of the evening, guarding his grain. Now, Naomi had advised Ruth to wait until the celebration was over, till Boaz's belly was full and he was happy before she came and seen to him. So as we invite you as ladies, want to talk to any males, make sure their bellies are full and they're happy before you put over any invitation to them. It's biblical. So she then follows her mother-in-law's instructions and she lies at the feet of Boaz, at the appointed time. She uncovers his feet from the blanket to gently waken him up. So she uncovered his feet. It was outside and cold. That would kind of wake him up in a gentle way. I know some people do a kind of quick dig in the ribs or a kick. That's not the way to do it. She was being quite gentle with him here. So Boaz wakes up thinking, who's this woman? Who's this at the bottom of my feet here? He's surprised. He's sleepy. He's dazed. He's not sure what's going on. And Ruth says to him in verse 9, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. She's been taught the customs and the practices of the Jewish religion, the Jewish system here. She said to him, I know you're my kinsman redeemer. You can redeem my family. You can redeem my life here. I'm placing myself at your feet, showing you I'm in need and humility. I'm placing myself there. And she says, you're a close relative. Take your maidservant under your wing. Can you look after me? Can you protect me? Can you marry me? Is really what she's saying here. So this action, this request to come under his wing came from her. Again, going back to if we come to God, if God draws us to him, we need to actually say to him, God, redeem me. Redeem my circumstances. Redeem this hard thing that I'm going through here. I need you. And she says, take your maidservant under your wing, or it might say under the hem of your skirt in some translations as well. That's symbolising authority. We can look at Ezekiel 16:8. We see Israel being referred to as having God spread his skirt over her. It's that kind of strong covenant relationship. We can look at the account of David being chased by King Saul in the cave. David cuts off the hem of King Saul's robe. That was basically David attacking his authority. So we see that's a kind of common theme through scripture here. And in the Arab culture, to spread a garment over a woman was basically to be married to her as well. So that's quite clear what Ruth is asking of Boaz here. So I want to think, I can end in this point here. Boaz, the meaning of Boaz's name is to render strength, to gain strength. If we think of Solomon's temple, one of the pillars is called Boaz, which means to strengthen, and the other one is Yachan, to establish. So Boaz is going to bring a strengthening into Ruth's life here. And so Jesus Christ, as our kinsman redeemer, can and will do the same for us. He can bring strength into our lives. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are we asking for that strengthening from him? Are we coming to him and requesting our needs before him in humility and in need? Are we placing ourselves at the feet of Jesus and saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you in this circumstance. Will you spread your authority over me and undertake for me? That is what Ruth is doing here. She knows she's in need, but she knows the one that can help her out. This morning, if you're in need, you know the one that can help you out as well. Look to him, seek him, and ask of him, and he will undertake for you. Let's go to the prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, Lord, that we can look into the book of Ruth here and see so many applications for our own lives. Lord, as we look at Ruth and we see her needs, we gain strength and encouragement from the fact that she was provided for. That not only were her needs met, Lord, but even abundance was brought into her life. We recognise, Lord God, that theme you've got running through the book of Ruth, of this Boaz being the Christ figure, being this Redeemer figure. Lord, we thank you that you do indeed draw people to yourself. You draw your sons and daughters to you, Lord, but before we can become adopted into your family, before we can have our needs met, before you can fulfil all the desires of our hearts, we need to ask of you. We need to lie down at your feet, Lord, and recognise that we are humble and helpless before you, Father God. We need to ask of you to forgive our sins and to cleanse us and to set our feet upon the rock that doesn't move. Lord, for those that are struggling this morning, Lord, that get burdens, that get needs, Father God, we just lift them up to your throne room just now. We ask you, Lord, to undertake on their behalf. Just as Ruth had to be patient for all of the events to unfold in her life and in the life of her mother-in-law. Before they could see a full redemption of their circumstances, there had to be a period of trust, that she had to be constantly placed within the boundaries of her Redeemer's land. Lord God, we commit today to you to stay within the boundaries of your word and of your life. Lord God, we feed upon your word and we feed upon your blood that can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The power that's in the blood of Jesus. Lord God, we confess to you this morning that if we have been out with your fields for provision for our needs to be met, Lord, we're in for a sorry disappointment, Father. We confess it to you, Lord, if we are looking for fulfillment and success in the wrong places, and we just commit to you that we will come under your authority once again. Help us, Lord, to be strengthened by you and not in anything else. Lord God, draw us to yourself. When we go astray, lead us back to you, to your field, to your provision, to your blessings, Father God. And help us to show that to other people, Lord, that we can pour out into that ripple effect in our families, in our communities, in our workplaces, Father. Bless your word and just bring it to our remembrance, Lord, whenever we need that encouragement. We just lay it before you and thank you and cover this prayer by the blood of your Son, Jesus. Amen.